All right.
Yes, Dad.
Do you know how this works, Lucy?
Kinda. It's not like I listen and pay to listen to this.
Oh, yeah, you do gotta pay to listen. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Dungeons and Degrees. My name's Adrian.
And I'm Alex.
And today we have a special guest. Special guests, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Lucy. So excited to be here. I'm very excited. Long time listener, first time interviewed. It's great.
10 out of 10. Would have her again already.
Lucy is not a stranger to podcasting, though. Lucy is in, I think, all the podcasts that are made on that server.
Yes.
And is now finally, like, yeah, cherry on top, finishing it off.
Yeah, some say it's a problem. I say I am expressing my creativeness. No, I am on Coming Together Naturally, Half-Blood Happy Hour. I was on the first season of Rollout, and I am also on a podcast not related to D&D or TTRPG called the Gross Observations Podcast with my two friends, Zach and Jaden. And it's time. It's really a time.
We know. We had Jaden, not Jaden. We had Zach last time.
Oh, joy.
Once again, like to post an official apology from Dungeons and Degrees podcast about
that
the entire
episode.
Thing.
Mm-hmm.
100% just would apologize.
Yeah, it just is what it is at this point. And then
what?
Zach was so interested in telling a dentist story that he told us later, and I was looking through the whole, because I was making a categories page on for a Jeopardy board, and I found the video of him in the doctor's office with the ring in his hand, the dental ring.
Mm-hmm.
And it's him all drugged up saying, like, "Do you think?" And then the video ending immediately.
Oh, God. Yeah. Zach is, I would say, out of the two for that podcast, even on Half-Blood Happy Hour, Zach is definitely the chaos incarnate. And I would say the bane of my existence at some point. So.
But today we're talking about you and your TTRPG experience. How did you start? What brought you in?
So some of my good friends, Daniel and Hannah, they wanted to play D&D. And I was like, I'm down. Like, I've always wanted to play. Back in the day, I played like a session or two when I was like maybe sophomore year of high school. But then that fell through. So really at like the first month of the pandemic, so March, I started to do a virtual session with my friend Daniel, Hannah, and Daniel's brother, Matthew, who would DM. And then it kind of just took off from there. And then I'm sure like a lot of other people, Noah, Magnus, Zach, whoever the foot, Sabrina Hen. And then I started, you know, I did the TikTok thing of like, hey, I want to join this podcast, joined a D&D server. I've now played a lot of D&D. And then it kind of got really bad because I watched a lot of Critical Role, a lot of Dimension 20, NADPOD, Three Black Hat. Like, I take in a lot of media now as well. So it's just D&D. It's just a lot. But it's fun. I enjoy it. I think it's something that I thought I couldn't get into because I was like, I tried it once. And I was like, ooh, I'm bad at this. Let's not do it. And then I tried it again. And I was like, oh, this is really fun. I like my Chaos Incarnate Tiefling Pirate. She's cute. That's how I did it. And now I kind of have a dice addiction.
It's like you shouldn't just give up on something because you're bad at it the first time. Isn't that wild? It's a wild life lesson.
No, and you would think like 20-year-old Lucy would know that. No, she didn't. But I think the thing about D&D is when I first started out, and I feel like everyone or most people relate to it, it's very intimidating because you have a whole like book. You have this whole community who sometimes is up in arms. And it's kind of like, I feel like I need to be good at this because if I'm not, it sucks and it's boring and I fall flat. But it's all about being comfortable with the people at your table. And then you kind of like, you progress. It's all about learning. I've been playing, what, for two years now? 2.5 years? You think I've read the player handbook in full? No. I learn so much all the time.
I haven't done that either.
I need y'all to stop coming on this podcast and be like, I didn't read the player's handbook when I had detailed notes.
I have read Tasha's
Cauldron of Everything or something like that.
I've read that one, and I've read the entire module thing for Ravenloft because I wanted to do that whole...
I read that one, yeah.
I was like, I want to do this, like, vampire shit. I've read those books, but the actual, like, player sort, like, how to play... No. I feel like I've watched enough where I'm like, okay, I get it. Okay. It's okay.
That's fair. I think... I think when I read it, I had not consumed as much media. Uh-huh. And I am not an oral learner. I cannot learn by reading or listening. I cannot hear something and be like, yeah, that makes sense. I have to hear it, wait 3 weeks for it to process in my brain, and then I will maybe understand a quarter of what you've said to me. So I as a reading learner, I need to read it and I need to see it. And I was listening to it. So I wasn't watching people roll.
Yeah. And you see, that's interesting because Critical Role and even Brennan Lee Mulligan, Matt Mercer and Brennan have done separate like series of how to play D&D. I think Brennan called his like office hours or something. And when I interviewed for Sabrina and they were like, okay, come with the character. I watched a specific video on like how to create a good, I forgot what I played, a druid, like how to play a good druid. And I was like, yes, Brennan Lee Mulligan, please tell me. So I watched a video and then I read that section of the player's handbook and I was like, okay, yeah, that's fun. Moonbeam, boom. And I was like, okay, I get it. That's all you need to know.
So what was the hardest thing about learning? Because I feel like you've had some kerfuffles with TTRPG, and I will bring this up about the, not D&D, but it was Monster Hearts for the Rollout Pod, and I think out of like 2 to 3 episodes, you were using the wrong dice. Or not the wrong, just the wrong amount.
Listen, I thought this was a safe space coming in here, and I don't appreciate being attacked. Yes, so with learning TTRPGs, it takes a while, and you would think a simple system. Okay, so basically for Monster Hearts, it's a 2d6 system, right? And Lucy, this is like recorded on the internet. Like you can go search me play Monster Hearts wrong for like 4 episodes or something. You roll with 2d6. I and my dumbass was rolling with 1 for 4 episodes, and it was so bad. And then at one point, my DM figured it out, and they were like, "Wait a minute, Lucy, how many dice are you rolling with?" And I was like, 1. And then my players were like, "Lucy, how the fuck do you think I got 11? Like how?" And I was like, "Oh, it's 2. Okay, I just thought, I don't know, I haven't." You have a +6. I don't fucking know. So that definitely was a learning, like, oh shit, it's 2d6. But with D&D, it also came remembering the spells you have and also remembering, like, what is it? You can't cast 2 spells in 1 turn. Isn't that a rule?
You can't cast 2 leveled spells in 1 turn. You can cast a cantrip and a spell that costs a spell level.
So for the longest time, I didn't know that. And I would like fight people. And I'm like, it says bonus action. And they're like, Lucy, it's a leveled spell. And I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, it's learning. It's learning about that. Learning about the Monster Hearts thing. Call of Cthulhu. I didn't understand percentages for a while. I'm not good at math. I got a fat ass. I don't know what to tell you. And so I think for... You don't know the saying?
I know this. No, I mean, I'm pretty...
No,
I'm
he didn't know the saying.
I knew the saying. It just came out of nowhere.
Oh, thank you. I would say, funny enough, Monster Hearts was the hardest to grasp because with D&D, you know, starting out with D&D, you have, like, a whole spell list. You have your actions, you have inventory, trait, all that shit. With Monster Hearts, you don't have that. You have two dice, and it's very simplified with like, oh, these are your moves. Here are your sex moves. And I'm like, I don't know what these mean. Where's my action, bonus action, reaction? How do I, what's combat? Like, that's my favorite thing about D&D. I love combat. I main barbarians. Take that what you will.
Hit hard, get hit.
I hit hard, get hit. Oops, ouch.
All right. What has been your favorite moment so far in TTRPGs?
Oh, God.
That's a big question.
That's a big question.
And also, now you have to see who's your, what was your favorite DM.
I have no favorite DM. You know what, Adrian?
Maybe it was something that they did. Listen, Lucy is an amazing person all by themselves. It could have been a moment that came from Lucy's brain and not from Adrian's brain.
Listen, it's a storytelling. It's a team game. Hold on. Okay?
But also, you said this would tell which favorite DM it is. Let's backtrack. I fucking hate all of my DMs, all right? I'm going to talk shit about y'all right now. Adrian's my DM. Noah, who's been on this pod, is my DM. And Tony, who's been on this pod, is my DM. All three of these fuckers have planned my downfall. Because in every single campaign I'm in, one of these bitches is the DM, and I cry. Someone dies, I cry, I get hurt, and I'm like, what did I do to y'all in a past life? What did I... Like, it hurts.
And it really usually hurts. Involves a brother?
Yeah, I also give myself siblings, and that's my fault, so... Kind of like give them the ammo. But enough talking shit about y'all. Because I know I'm going to get reprimanded for this.
It's okay. It'll be months down the line, unless it's me.
Yeah. Anyway, I just cry.
Listen, I've already got things planned out. All the trauma has happened in this because, like, we finished our first arc.
Yes. And here's the thing. With Adrian, I know it's the goddamn waiting game with this bitch, all right? Because they're like, oh, don't worry, I have something planned. And then the seed is planted, and then you're like, I should remember this for later. And then I know it's going to bite me in the ass. And I'm like, it's fine. I know I said the things I said to people. Hopefully I don't have to pay for it. Who knows? But yeah.
I stand by it.
I will face the consequences and cry about it. It's fine. But... besides my bitch-ass DMs that I love with my whole heart and who inspire me constantly, my favorite moment from each... I'm going to say each pod, because I can't... It's going to be, like, Lucy's best moments. From CTN, yes. It's going to be from episode 2, when I made everyone laugh for the first time. And if you haven't listened to CTN, what the fuck are you doing? Spoiler. We kill a man in a bear suit? And we go to bury him and we have a funeral, and my character, she's young, and so I said, do you think he has a family that also wears bear costumes? And I have a video of it. Everyone breaks. It's a serious, sad moment. Nero's playing a song and I'm reading something, and Kreia's like standing over the body, and I'm just like, do you think they have a family that wears bear costumes? I was like, that set the tone. That was good.
That's so beautiful.
For Half-Blood Happy Hour, the mood is so different from each pod. And my characters differ. Harmonica doesn't joke around. She's, you know, very serious. So I think for her, it would be in a recent episode, we fought a Cyclops. And I did this really cool move where I cast Suggestion, I believe. And I whispered into the Cyclops' ear in the voice of Pasiphae. I told it to stop. So then it stopped. And then I got an advantage on my bonus action, which was, you know, to hit it with my great sword. And it was just fucking cool. I was like, felt like a bad bitch. I felt great. And then Helena from Rollout, she's a gay little vampire. And I think being able to express myself as a little gay vampire with a British accent is really fun. And I'd probably say her best moment, I don't know. I like to make fun of myself, but this was a cute one. It's when she expresses her feelings to her now partner, Julia. It was very gay. It was very cute. The first kiss did not go well. I rolled very low. It was so awkward. But it's one of my favorite moments because normally, you know, the dice are in your favor. When I played that Monster Heart, they were not in my favor. They were not. They were like, I'm going to make sure you have...
Because you were rolling one dice.
No, by that episode, I was rolling two. I think the dice were trying to make me pay for it. They were like, you dumbass, just you're going to go with it now. You're not going to roll higher than a four. Fuck you. But that one is an awkward moment of just being like, oh, this did not go as planned at all. This was the worst first kiss I've ever had. You know what? It's kind of cute. So I'd probably say that's my favorite memory from there. And then the gross observation. I'm just kidding. No, I do not have a favorite moment from the Gross Observations podcast.
Thank you. I'm so glad that we skipped that.
Oh, do you
apparently
not listen?
My sister watches that. Listens. No, I haven't listened to it because I'm afraid.
No, your sister.
When I found out age. Okay, so here's the thing. My mom listens to that podcast. Did I think she would?
No.
But she does. And then finding out that like Tony's brother, Adrian's sister, I was like, oh, we have a little audience. I was like, I see you weirdos. I know who you are. Yeah.
Last people you want listening to that podcast.
Is my mother. Yeah, I know. Yeesh, I know. It's pretty
I'm
bad.
I'm afraid. I have to do some research for like my next batch of Jeopardy board that I'm making. So I might have to listen to it. So,
oh God, you're going to find out so much about me, Zach and Jaden. It's bad.
Yeah. But we're supposed to be on that podcast eventually. Or is it just going to be me, Alex? Are you like, no, get away.
I may just come in as a different name. Like, you're going to have to do some research to figure out.
When we have our invitationals, you can be a judge.
What's an invitational?
Invitational? I don't know.
Do you want to know?
Too late.
So.
Yeah,
I want to know.
Our first invitational was called the Throat Goat Invitational. And basically,
nope, I don't want to know. That's it. Back off.
But yeah. We did an extensive debate about historical figures and the term throat goat. Do with that what you will. It was a very informative episode.
Listen, I hadn't heard about Nancy Reagan being the throat goat from outside of y'all's podcast until like, I want to say 3 weeks later. I heard it on a TikTok and I'm like, so it's not just them being weird. This is just like a fact that people know.
It is, yes. Nancy Reagan was the throat goat and Jackie Kennedy ate sheet metal. Okay, it's not just... us, all right. TikTok's a good place. We find a lot of content there.
I just felt the skin on my face wither away.
I'm so sorry, Alex.
At time of recording, my birthday was on Sunday, so like already
Happy
having
birthday.
Issues. Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Already having issues with like being as old as Jesus was when he died, and literally one could only hope. One could only hope for that outcome this year. But, like, that scene from Indiana Jones where, like, they open the Ark of the Covenant and, like, or even the other international hit film, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, where, like, the skin just withers away because I chose the wrong cup. Like, that's, like, the both of my references. Harrison Ford.
I was waiting for a different like franchise you would rent to another, and then the other time in Indiana Jones where the ants just eat that guy's body in the crystal skull. Like,
listen,
that.
There are only two Indiana Jones movies. That's my hot take. I will never address that there are another maybe two fanfics that are fake.
Fun fact, I've only seen Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I know, Alex.
The worst one of them.
I've made your heart palpitate. I can't. I'm sorry.
Just like in Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom, where he reaches the chest and removes the heart.
I feel like it's that moment where, and not to age you, but like your grandma or something's telling you of like this old piece of media, and you're like, yeah, grandma, uh-huh. But mind you, I'm not that much younger than Alex, and I just have never seen Indiana Jones. I love you, Alex.
I like to say sometimes, like, yeah, no, it's not. That's age is but a number. I'm hip. I'm cool.
You are.
But the more
blue
stuff.
Hair.
Thing,
wow.
Listen, I understand. I
have hair now.
Now.
There's just sometimes that I'm like, I don't even think I want to learn. I don't even want to do the research. I don't even want to pull up Urban Dictionary. And I think that's the turning point of. Before I was like, oh no, I need to pull up the Urban Dictionary. I need to know. I want to be hip. I want to understand. Mm-hmm. And I think this last 2 weeks, I've been like, fuck it. I don't give a shit. I don't care.
Fuck y'all.
I don't care.
I get that.
it's nanners time. It's and then like Excuse warm me? Cup of milk and then bed. Nanners? Like bananas?
Bananas.
Oh. I was making sure you meant bananas, and I was like, is nanners a term I don't know? Okay.
No. That's an old term.
No,
not way back when, we used to call them nanners. But recently, the kids have forgotten their roots, and they just call them bananas. Damn you, Minions movie.
Yeah, so, okay, I'll quit talking about being old. One day.
Okay, so we started talking about Indiana Jones, and I thought of a question. Ooh. Of, have you ever watched a movie, and this is for everybody, and like, oh, fuck,
nope, never
dude.
Watched a movie.
Shut in up. My life, never.
She movie? Just only watched the talkies sometimes. You brought this on yourself, okay? You did this.
You're right, I did.
Should have said cave paintings. Anyways.
Shut the fuck up. My kids did cave paintings last week. Listen, I spent all last week doing cave fucking paintings with my children. I'm done.
When I was in middle school, my teacher let us do the carving on clay tablets like the Egyptians did with hieroglyphs. That was fun.
This week is fucking Egypt's. Like, Egypt's is Egyptian art.
This week is just Egypt's.
It's just Egypt's mm-hmm. everywhere.
The two continents of Egypt and Egypt's.
I'm sorry, what was your question?
All right, Agent, back to your question.
I had a question. Oh, it's, have you ever watched a movie and it's like, just stop it, Alex. And just like, dude, I want to play a D&D campaign about this. This is what I want.
All the time.
Tell me, what movie was that? And have you thought about how you would do it? Is it a lot of, I mean, it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. But and again, some of these source books already exist. The number one being Star Wars. My thing. Mm-hmm. My thing is Star Wars, 100%. That's my thing. So I've always wanted to play a Star Wars one. But something that I have just come into liking, that I've been playing around with this idea, and I haven't told Jaden, because I don't want them to know about it. Yes! Oh my god, you have both. That's amazing. For the listeners, because this is an audio pod, Adrian just held the two source books for the Star Wars version.
Yeah, the beginner rule books, yeah.
That's so sick. Oh, you lucky bastard. I say that lovingly.
They have specific dice that they don't sell anymore.
I know. Lame. But something that I've always wanted to play around with in making a whole like campaign and book is Demon Slayer, the anime. I really, really enjoy Demon Slayer, and I've thought about like the mechanics of combat, and like, you know, each of them has I was like, how do I explain this very not deep level lore? Each of them has their own like powers, you know, like fire blade, wind blade, like that type of shit. So I'd want to play around with that. So I'd probably say Demon Slayer, Star Wars. A good answer I heard, which I have recently heard, has become, someone made a source book, is Warrior Cats. You know, cats.
What do you mean, like Tum Tum Tucker or like whatever?
Think about it like that. But yeah, Warrior Cats is like again, I've never read the thing, but because my partner is Jane is very into Warrior Cats, they've explained to me like the entire lore top to bottom, oh, like generations. And I'm like, this shit is this is like Game of Thrones extensive. This is fucking like, whoa. So a Warrior Cats one would be interesting. I just want to play a cat. I should just play a tabaxi at some point.
They're fun. They got claws.
I know. So I'd say Star Wars is already one. So Demon Slayer or Warrior Cats. And this isn't D&D related, but I want to make a Coraline themed Call of Cthulhu game. I've been working on it and I'm kind of proud of the progress I've made because I love Coraline. It's my favorite movie. So maybe because it's spoopy season, I will run it because I'm, you know, yeah, not nervous at all.
What do you mean? Would this be your first game GMing?
This would be the first like serious game I've ran. The only other games I've run one D&D one shot, and then this thing called Escape the Kingdom, which is a TTRPG made by Inquisitive Rogue, who's been on the pod. I've run that. Those are the two things I've ever run. I've never done a Call of Cthulhu. I've never done a serious D&D like long stretched campaign. So I don't know if I'm ready for it yet. I don't know. I think I'm just nervous. I think it's one of those things that I'm afraid to fail at. And then this turns into a therapy session.
We can absolutely unopen
the unclose that for you. Come here. Can you unclose this bottle of wine for me, please?
I'm saying that now. Thank you.
It's so cursed.
Can you unclose the door?
It's very cursed.
I hate it.
I don't know. Adrian, do you have one that you're thinking?
Every now and then a movie. I mean, the last one, which I got, what mentally I was just kind of loving, was Stranger Things. Because that's, I mean, it's not like completely D&D. I know they have the whole source book and everything like that. But I kept like thinking, like, what are these people? What are their classes? What are their characters? What are they doing? This, like, a bunch of stuff like that. Not making it through a D&D campaign, just like classing them as D&D characters because they have that kind of source material already, kind of embedded in D&D. Another one is Die Hard, but I feel like that's more of a solo campaign or potentially a PvP, where it's like one versus like a high level one versus a bunch of other like low level players. But then how would you do scenes? How would you cut people out? I think it might be just kind of difficult, but interesting. Maybe it's more a one-on-one session and it's like, sorry, I'm like slowly kind of developing in my head. Every time I talk about it, I think about more things. Like, you as the DM can move around, and then when combat happens, all you have, like, they kind of become the DM. Like, you just start rolling, and they're like, that hits, that misses, and you don't know their health points. They don't know your health points until you're dead. It's just, I don't know. I'm just too much going on in my head. But I've thought about it.
I have a pivotal question.
Yes.
For the Die Hard one.
Yes.
Would you only run this during Christmas?
Yes.
Hell yeah. This is a cool podcast.
This is a Die Hard as a Christmas movie podcast. Yeah!
Yes. At first, it was kind of a joke when I said that to my last partner. Mm-hmm. And now it's just like, nah, this is for real. I like Die Hard as a Christmas movie.
Fuck yeah.
Listen.
But that's also a really cool idea. I've never seen.
You what? You've never done a Die Hard?
Die Hard?
I like. Okay. Wait. I have an idea of the background. Like, I think I know the synopsis.
Uh-huh. You know what? Tell me what you think it is. All of it. From start to finish.
Explain to me the plot of Die Hard without ever seeing it. No.
No. Okay. Bruce Willis, which 10 out of 10 would bang. Easy. Like,
that's fair. That's fair.
Just so everybody is aware of that.
Pivotal piece of information.
Bruce Willis, especially with like, oh my God. Okay. I don't know why he's there. I don't know why he's in the, I don't know why he's crawling through the, he's crawling through the, okay, hold on. I'm going to assume things. Okay. I'm going to quit trying to like I'm just going to pretend like I fucking know.
Okay. Yeah. There we go. That's the DM mentality.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bruce Willis is some sort of police officer, investigator, somebody in charge of knowing things and killing people. Obviously, the only idea that I have for cops, right? They know things and then they kill people. On Christmas, finds out there's a bomb in a building and it's Snape. Alan Rickman, once again, 10 out of 10. Boneable, 10 out of 10. And then he's gotta he's gotta fix the bomb situation or whatever the terrorist thing that they're trying to take over. You know, honestly, it's not a bomb. I think it's they're trying to steal some sort of information from a corporation. Then you have this moment where Bruce Willis has to go through, much like you do in Donkey Kong, up and dodging barrels that come down. Mm-hmm. He saves the day. And then things explode. Hans falls out of the fucking window. And then he becomes a Death Eater. And Bruce Willis has half a shirt at the end of the movie. And it's covered in blood and grime. 10 out of 10 boneable.
And it's also Christmas Eve.
Why is it a Christmas movie?
Because it's on Christmas. It's on Christmas. Like, it's a Christmas.
Because Bruce Willis...
Mm-hmm. Says Merry Christmas, motherfucker, right? It's not on Christmas. It's not a Christmas. It's not an actual, like, on Christmas movie. Because then there'd be snow wherever they were. Because, obviously, tall buildings only exist in places that snow on Christmas. Because any holiday movie you've seen. So, he says what? Merry Christmas, motherfucker, or something like that? Happy holidays.
I'm Santa, bitch. I don't know. No, yeah, it Beautiful. Takes place on Christmas All Eve. Right. It's a Christmas movie. Very good. Very good synopsis.
I like this game.
It's an action movie.
And I will not explain further because that's good enough.
Yeah, you hit the point. You got it.
Listen, he's fighting somebody because they're a fucking terrorist, and then things explode, and there's gunfire, somebody dies, and then he's a hero at the end of the day, and that's fucking it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I get
it. You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Minute, maybe.
You should DM more.
Who?
Here's my proposal for... a film that we make into D&D.
Yes.
Stepford Wives.
What's that?
Interesting.
This would have to be a trick.
I know this one.
Right. It's okay, so Stepford Alex. Wives. What?
I need
what
to look this up. It's What's okay. Stepford Wives?
Wow,
this is just a pod of okay. us going, how have you okay. not seen this?
That's why we talk to it's okay.
That's when we talk to the youth. Can Lucy, we have Lee back?
Lucy, get out
Can we
out
have
of here.
Lou? I need Lee back because I feel like I'm not as old with Lee around.
What is it called?
Stepford Wives.
Oh, Stepford Wives. Okay, go on. Oh my god, this movie has AMC's Nicole Kidman in it? How cool.
It does. So, it's a remake too, so this is even like the second iteration, but basically, long story short... Nicole Kidman and her spouse, because it doesn't matter who her spouse is, it's just fucking Nicole Kidman, move into this idyllic neighborhood in which everything is like 1950s. All of the women are perfect and, you know, they love their husbands and they don't work and they exercise in full dress and full makeup. And she's like, what the fuck is going on? Her husband's Matthew Broderick, isn't it?
I think. Ferris Bueller.
Mm-hmm. I know what that is. Sorry.
There's just a gap in the like mid-90s to like early 2000s, right?
Yeah.
So they go through, her husband gets like snatched into like, oh, this is so cool. And then basically she gets like a brain transplant and becomes one of the Stepford Wives. So she's like trying to get out. It's like not horror movie, but like...
Psychological thriller.
Yeah, all of the women become these like perfect 1950s housewives. So I think this would be less of I'm telling my players what we're doing, and more of you need to figure out the mystery behind before it's too late and you become like the perfect 1950s person.
I think because reading.
Would you like pick off your players one by one kind of thing?
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, this is the guy that wrote Rosemary's Baby. Okay. I was reading the synopsis for it. This sounds a lot like what the movie Don't Worry, Darling was inspired by. because this is legit. Like the first,
yes,
3/4 of this is what Don't Worry, Darling is. And I'm like, oh, huh, okay.
I've only known about the scandals. I have not seen the movie.
Honestly, I feel like that's everyone. Don't Worry, Darling. Oh my god! Speaking of that, who was it? There was someone in the It might have been Inquisitive Rogue, but I was having a conversation with someone. I forget. I just know them from TikTok, and I was talking to them about the movie, and they said they were like, "I really want to do like a 1950s game and like do a futuristic retro type thing with robots and like classic cars, but they turn into spaceships." I was like, "That sounds so cool." Well, like, what would you do? And they're like, "Oh, I don't know who you'd fight yet. Capitalism? What the thing that Brendan Lee Mulligan does? Just fight capitalism." I was like, "Oh, fair."
It's capital, always 100% capitalism. So really, you want to create the Jetsons.
Yes! Yeah. The Jetsons! Oh, good pull. That's a good cartoon.
Thank you.
See, I know what that is too.
Good job. Thank you. Diana.
It's a weird subsection that I don't know. Diana.
Look at her. Oh, she's stretched.
She owns that. That's her bed.
She said, "Paint me like one of your French bulldogs."
Yeah, she absolutely hates it. I have to freaking like jump into bed and she just like already splayed out, and I'm like, "You know what's going down here. I'm taking a piece of the bed and you're gonna either get cuddled or you're gonna move, okay?"
Listen, Cora's the same way.
That's the rule in your bed anyways, isn't it? Like,
yes,
that feels like
way?
Yeah
so
you have strong get cuddled or move out of the way.
I can only cuddle for so long before I get too hot and I need to roll over.
I run hot. I can't cuddle for that long. I'm like a good 20 minutes. Mm-hmm, I'm like, I'm good. Mm-hmm. Peace out. Give me my space.
It starts to get sweaty.
Exactly. But speaking of
I'm like
Diane,
a fucking heater, dude.
tell me about Cora.
Cora does this. Cora is no more than like a foot and a half long. She's a corgi chihuahua, so she's very tiny. But this bitch, she acts like she owns this mattress, and she'll spread out across it, and then I'll push her to the side and I'll lay down, and then she'll like slam her back into me, and then she'll like move and, you know, nestle in. And then by the morning, her feet are all on my back pushing me, and she's just laying there making sure I don't roll back on her. And one time I did, and she growled at me and she bit my butt. So Cora's mean. It was one time, and now she just like pushes me and she gives me a warning growl, and I was like, okay, that's good. Just don't bite my butt.
If the dogs are in my bed, I have, and I'm on my side because I sleep almost exclusively on my side. Mm-hmm. I have one nestled in the like chest tummy area. I've got one in the back of my knees, and then I've got one at the feet, not on the feet, just like cat corner to the knee situation. So like, mm-hmm. just a ding, 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 ding. What's the thing? What the fuck is that? Pinball machine. Like, leave me alone. Those are the sound the pinball machine makes.
I'm so confused. Do you remember the little flippers, the little buttons, the sprawling? I don't know what the fuck they call it.
It was okay. So yes, my hands were up for the flippers, and then my brain was like, "What happens when you hit the like? You got all the little things and make the ding 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 noise. It's fine.
The bounty.
Listen, you don't have to live in this brain, okay?
I don't. I mean,
but they like your brain.
Brain.
Thank you.
Your brain sounds like a fun place.
It's it's a ping pong, it's a ping pong machine. No, it's a pinball machine.
Pinball.
There we go.
I was like, it starts with a P.
Was that what the word you were looking for? I thought you were talking about like the actual like flappers or like the bouncers or something. Like, I didn't know like pinball was the thing you were looking for.
You were talking
pinball
about
machine
very
was the whole word.
Specific mechanism within a pinball machine that makes it a pinball machine.
That makes it a noise. That makes noises.
Yeah.
Kind of make noises.
You have little nodes that you hit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's like an actual way to play pinball. I just also.
What do you mean? What? Oh. You just hit things, right?
Yeah. Do you not just hit things?
Well, there's like strategery.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I ain't about that. I'm just barely hanging on every time I play pinball. It's like, and goes right down the middle. Why? How? Why is that a thing? Fuck off.
My favorite pinball is Waluigi's. That's a Mario Kart thing. I don't know if you, I don't know why I said it like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's a Mario Kart thing? I was like, I don't know if you knew that. Is this like
common knowledge? Everyone knows the Waluigi pinball machine.
Everyone knows the lore of Super Mario Bros. And all of its spinoff franchises. Thank you.
Oh my god.
I'm sorry. They're
so active. I do really like that racetrack though. The Waluigi one.
Oh. I don't think I've...
The pinball one. I like that track.
No, yeah, that one's fun. I like when the giant ball comes out of nowhere. And it...
Yeah.
Like, pummels you. And you're like, what the fuck? That's a good one.
I'm gonna be real. I don't think I've played that track before.
Really?
It's on the Mario Kart 8.
Ah, see, there we go.
Yeah. You skipped one?
Well, I mean... Skip.
Did you not play past, like, the GameCube version?
Yeah, pretty much. Double Dash was like my last one, which was peak Mario Kart.
Fuck yeah.
Yell at your friend. We got a Switch!
No, and see, that was the first one I ever played. And so, you know, I was so used to having to rely on two people and like my uncle yelling at me. And then when I got my Nintendo DS and they had regular Mario Kart, I think that was Mario Kart 8 is when that one, I think they put that one on the DS. And then I was like, oh, I'm alone. This is so peaceful. It's good.
You didn't know peace until now.
Honestly? No, here's the thing. Jaden and I have started to play video games. We played Portal 2 together, right? So it's like a puzzle.
Yeah, I'm proud of you that you're still together. Proud of you.
Thank you. We finished all of them. But it was really funny because I was telling them, like, because of what I grew up with as, like, I'm a very competitive person because of my family. And so when I play games with other people, I get very competitive. And so when we had to work together with something, I'd be like, oh, I already figured it out. They're like, Lucy, no, work together. Tell me what you're doing. I'm like, but the door's open. I figured it out. They're like, no, get better. So we made through all of them. We did pretty good. I was proud.
How many fights?
We never got in a fight. Funny enough, we never got in a fight, but we did get to some points where we were so tired. Like there was one where we had to get this cube out of the room, but we couldn't figure it out. We got the cube out of the room and my dumbass backed up a little bit too hard that the cube hit the wall and it disintegrated. And Jaden went, I think we're done for tonight. and then the time that I got mad was we had to do one where you had to like jump and mm-hmm. you had to time it so like the door wouldn't close on you, and Jaden said go and I went and it like immediately just crashed into me and I died, and I was like, I think we could just call it a day. I think, you know what, let's tackle this tomorrow. I think that's a good idea. It was so funny. Oh, that was good. That was a fun time. I love Portal.
Portal's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Diana. Oh, I had a question before we jumped onto this. What class would your dogs be?
Oh.
I want to say Diana's a barbarian. But she's kind of loud, bark. Uh-huh. And little to no bite. Unless you have a collar on. And then she fucking chews up a collar. She's like, be free!
To freedom!
Yeah, pretty much. She gets rough with the collar. So, owner, like, my friends was just like, she's biting my dog! I'm like, no, she's going for the collar again. So I have to take off the collars off dogs she's playing with. Or else they get destroyed.
They think they're gonna die, and she's like, no, I'm freeing you.
Yeah, pretty much. She's aggressively freeing you from your chains.
Aww.
But yeah, I think barbarian.
Because
she's also sticky. She's a little big girl.
Yes, queen.
I love you.
I don't...
I think Watson is a bard.
Watson's a bard?
Okay. Watson's a bard. I have issues with him singing the songs of his people.
Mm-hmm.
He's also really obnoxious, and he is sometimes overwhelming with, like, whatever it is. but he's also really selfish. So, like, Bard, and, right?
Yeah, Bard. Right.
But, like, he charms people, right? So he's, like, real cute. But, like, everybody knows he's kind of an asshole, except for the people who are new there. So I'm throwing out Bard for Watson.
All right. For Maya, my other dog, or my roommate's dog, is a rogue. She likes to bury herself into blankets, and she doesn't like being near people, and she always hides from me. And she doesn't listen to me. Mm-hmm. She does her own thing, so fuck her.
Yo, tell her, just come on. Maya, I can't
stand here with the door open.
Fuck.
That dog has been a pain in my butt.
Mm-hmm.
She's the reason I stayed up so late that one night to just washing clothes because she peed on the bed and all that stuff.
See, this is hard.
What about Cora? You still need some... Cora's hard? Okay.
Because Cora... She's probably like a Bardbarian. I always multi-class. I would say she's a Bardbarian because Cora destroys all of her toys. She's a very aggressive little thing. But because she barks so much, it's almost like... It's like what Alex said. She sings the song of her people. But she's also very aggressive about it. So, like, imagine singing the national anthem, but you're like System of a Downing it, basically. That's what Cora is. She's just aggressive. But she doesn't bite people. She doesn't, like... She does hate men. I don't know if I conditioned her to do that, but she hates men. But she's just like a... Rawr! And then she's very, like, cute. So I don't know. I'd say a Bardbarian. Because she sings, and she's also mean. But she also has, like, the sweetness of a bard. And, like, the... You know how bards are clichély flirtatious? Once you give her, like, a piece of cheese or a fry, she's on her back, belly showing, like, I love you. We're meant to be. You're my best friend. And, like, that just gives Bard energy. Yeah, I'll stick with that one.
Hell yeah. Alex, you figuring out the last one?
I'm figuring out the last three. Yeah, there's a lot. Okay, so I think I have a Rosie.
Mm-hmm.
So Rosie, my Yorkie, I think she's a paladin.
Ooh.
Right? Her enemy are squirrels and birds. And it doesn't matter what they do. Like, she is against it. It's not... If there is a whisper of a squirrel, she's out there attacking. But she's a healer. So she'll sit on everybody. If, like, you're having a bad day, she just, like, comes and, like, sits on you.
Mm-hmm.
And she sits on Watson. And she, like, cleans everybody's faces.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, divine smite. But, like, also healing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right?
That's so
they
cute.
Have a... What's it called? They have, like, a pool of points they can use for paladins.
Yeah, I feel like that's right. And my soul is saying that Peggy is either a rogue because she like, sneaks into things. So she's, like, underneath the couch and she, like, watches the food and stuff. But I also feel very strongly that she's part warlock.
Mm.
And her patron is Michael.
Jackson.
So... No, my partner, my spouse.
Oh, sorry.
No. It's fair. Like... They have a...
Michael Jackson, no.
No. No, they have a pact.
Uh-huh.
She will kill for him. She will... I don't think she'd die for him, because that also doesn't feel very warlocky, but, like, she... That's, like, that's her, that's his... That's... That they're bonded.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I think she would fight for him. But she is very sneaky. So there has to be some sneak attack in there. And then Valkyrie, I think, is done being an adventurer entirely.
Aww.
I don't think that was her life. I'm pretty sure she's an NPC. She doesn't even have any personality traits that would allow her to be in battle.
Uh-huh.
Despite her name, she's just a very kind soul, and I don't think she would. So maybe, I guess, a druid, if she would just commune with nature and she would not fight anybody. She would just lay out in the sun and chill.
That is so cute.
I think if she had her way.
That's adorable.
Thank you. There's a lot of energy here.
I'm calling my newest dog a hireling. Bunsy. A lot of energy, a lot of spunk. Mm-hmm. Doesn't know what the hell's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Still learning how to not pee inside.
That's the beagle, right?
Hireling. Yeah.
She's so cute. Or they.
Beagles are a lot.
Beagles are a lot. I had an old man beagle. He was so cute. His name was Ollie. And he, my aunt, I didn't have him. My aunt adopted him. And he used to be tested on for cosmetics. And so he was this, like, very scared, this, like, very scared old man beagle doggy. And the first time I met him, I was sitting on the floor. And I was like, I'm just going to wait till he comes to me. And I was sitting crisscross applesauce. And he comes and he puts his face on my leg and is looking up at me. And my aunt was like, I have never seen them look so, like, lovingly at someone. And then I started petting them, and I swear to God, I saw the thing smile. I swear I've seen the dog smile. And I was like, I think this is good. I think we were meant to bond like this. Ollie holds a special place in my heart. I loved Ollie. Ollie was amazing. Do you guys have any other pets besides dogs? No, Matt? Right?
No.
No.
Mm. I'm okay too many with dogs. This. I think we'd max out at two.
Okay.
Interesting. We should have maxed out at two. I'm very good at murdering fish.
And my fish are very good at murdering each other. Oh my god.
You have betas, right?
Yes. No, but Alex, explain yours first, and then I'll explain mine. You're good at killing fish. Oh,
I attempted. Those were my quarantine treats.
Mm-hmm.
I rescued my life giver's betta fish from my dad's house because she just left him there. His name was Tom Brady, RIP Tom Brady. He lived in this bowl that was like this size. I don't have a relative equivalent right now.
Bowling ball, eight ball.
It's between like a
little bit bigger than a magic eight ball, right?
Yeah.
Bigger than what they have at the store, but smaller than like a 5.5 gallon tank, right? So what they should be in. So I rescued him and I was like, ah, let me give you a whole big ass fucking tank. I gave it to him. He had the filter. It was beautiful. He had the clean water, not the like dirty poo water that he was living in. And it took him 24 hours and he was dead.
Oh, fuck. Oh.
What I think happened is that I gave him these wide open spaces and he was like, I can't hang. I can't handle this. Like, oh, I have to use my fins because the water's moving.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, there's food regularly given to me. Somebody's like checking in. I can see my fins in front of my face. And he said, I'm done. And so I was like, okay, that's fine. So then I didn't want to just throw the tank of water away. I wanted to just recycle it. So I got some tetra, another betta fish, and we had the power outage or whatever. And so my tank got too cold. And so they shocked themselves to death and died. And then I was like, fuck all of this. I'm just going to get a goddamn goldfish because – so I got a goldfish. Yeah. And it had the ick. I resuscitated this fucking goldfish out of the ick, and it just died.
Oh my fucking god.
Do we keep going?
I had the goldfish. Okay, so like, Tom Brady lasted.
I'm glad you tried, Alex. Yeah. Like, you did your best. Like,
yeah.
Okay, the second round lasted like a month or 3 weeks. The goldfish lasted 2 months, but 1 month was treating fucking a bacterial infection and me monitoring the fucking water temperature like a goddamn champ. And then fuck fish. That's it. Lucy, your fish tail.
So my fish tail, here's the thing. I am the type of person, I've always made the joke, animals just come to me. Cora came to me when I went out in the middle of the fucking Joshua Tree desert. A pig, two dogs, and a goat came up to me. Like, it's a thing. So I used to live down south of California. And I was walking Cora one night and I saw a fishbowl on the side of the road, and it was like 48 degrees outside. I saw a fishbowl on the side of the road. I saw a little fishy swimming in it. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna save that fishy. So I walked home with, I walked a mile in 48 degree weather to take this fish home. And it was this yellow, neon yellow betta fish. And I named her Vivian. Little did I know, Vivian was a cunt. I'm sorry, that's a bad word. Vivian was a very bad fishy. Vivian was mean. I did not know that. I thought she was a saint. She was not. So I got her this big tank. And I was reading up on it, and it was like, some bettas can do good with tetras. Some bettas can do good with snails. Like, they don't mind snails. So I got it a snail. Vivian fucking ate the snail. Don't know how she ate the snail, but she did. So I was like, you know what? Maybe Vivian just needs to, like, go to a home. So I took her to a fish store. And I was like, do you want this betta? They're like, sure. And I was like, well, I have this 10-gallon tank. I might as well get some fish. So I got 3 guppies. And they were all males. They all fucking killed each other. And I was like, cool. Let me try some other fish. So I tried some mollies. And I was like, are these making sure there's no females? I don't want bitches killing each other for, you know, to get pregnant. Like, just make them all males. They will be fine. Turns out some fish people don't know their fish genders, because I ended up getting 1 female molly, 2 male mollies, and they both just kept going at her. So I ended up with 36 grandkids. That was fun, which I had to give away. And then I think they got so mad at her that she lost her kids, that they killed her. And then one of them swam up and jumped out of the tank, so they committed suicide. So that was that. And then I stopped with the fish for a while. I had one fish named Heimlich. He was very nice. And I moved over with him. He's still in my tank. But now there's Heimlich the guppy. I have 2 tetras and I have 2 angelfish in a 25-gallon tank. So I need to get a bigger tank. But I was like, these are nice. These are my mom's fish. She picked them all out. I have my own little fish. His name is Heinz. He's a beautiful blue-gold betta. And he's living it up. He's so sweet. He does little tricks for me. Like, I can move the fish food and he'll move with it. There's a snail. And he'll, like, hit the snail with his tail, but he won't bite the snail. It's a whole thing. I was running a fish fight club and brothel at one point. It was bad. It was really bad.
What's worse, a brothel or a murder house?
I don't know, but once the kids got involved, I got scared. I was like, there's too many children, and I need to remove them from this hostile environment. I felt really bad. I was like, I'm kind of like God in this situation. I brought you all here. I feel like I should divine intervention this. So, yeah. And all because I found Vivian on the side of the road that I now own fish. But yeah, that's my fish story. Adrian, do you have a fish story?
I wanted 3 fish because I watched Barney one time and I wanted to name them Super D Duper. I could only afford 2, so I called 1 Super D and the other 1 Duper. They didn't last. The end.
Aww. Super D Duper.
And then my sister also got fish, and she did way better than I did.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
I don't understand what it is about fish. I don't. I can understand plants now. Maybe it's just with age, you just get weird talents. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand why I've murdered the plants, because it was 1,000 degrees all summer.
Mm-hmm.
I had them going for a really long time, and like I could see the signs there. I think my mom is, my life giver is very good with fish, and I think that's just a weird trait that she's good with fish, but she's not good with children. Like, that's weird.
Oh, that's an interesting trade off. Okay,
right.
Funny
I think it's yeah.
Interesting's a word. Yes.
Interesting. I that might be like a trend. I don't know.
A trend?
Maybe twice is just a coincidence, you know?
I wonder if that's a correlation. I wonder if, like, people who are not good.
I don't know.
Oh, there you go.
Relationship. Adrian's got a good mom. Got a good mom.
I have good parents. I just have bad brain.
Aww.
No. Adrian's whole family is like super supportive and like really loving, and
I met your,
they like all get along.
I met your brother, right? Your brother and your sister? Mm-hmm.
Did you meet my brother? I don't think you met
him. Do I dox them?
Dante and Liliana. I don't know.
I've met Dante the stream.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I thought you met in real life. You met Liliana in
real life. No, I've met Liliana. I met the cool one in real life.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, fuck me, yeah. Yes, Liliana's the cool one. She makes jewelry because it's for her class.
Mm-hmm. She's really into sewing. Listen, Liliana doesn't have much to compete with. I love you both, but like on cool level...
Oh, shit.
Thank you so much for listening. My name's Adrian.
And I was Alex.
And I'm Lucy. Jesus. No. You're just like, you fuckers can finish this yourselves. Adrian, I meant the coolest.
Hot dogs.
No, I meant the coolest out of the two siblings, not you. You're supreme, father.
I stand by what I say.
No.
Adrian's, I think Liliana would still be the coolest. She's a little sister, first of all. A little sister energy you cannot top.
Okay? She could kick my ass.
I would, out of the three, right? Out of the three siblings I have, I wouldn't even be the top two of coolest, like, kids. Like, I know where I stand. I have a Dungeons & Dragons podcast. I have two Dungeons & Dragons podcasts.
That's true.
I like to read. Like, I'm not historically cool.
Listen,
it's okay.
Maybe because I just need to toot my own horn, but I know I'm the coolest out of all five of my siblings. All right. Oh god, I have Jesus. Five. Oh fuck. I just realized that. Damn, I got five.
Your fish had 36.
Huh? Your fish had 36.
I fucking hate you. And I named them all too.
Okay.
No, because see, every batch of children, I would name them off of like something in particular. So, like one batch, I named them after condiments. Another batch, I named them after the Lost Boy animals. The other batch, I named them after actors and actresses that I didn't like. So I had a Hugh Jackman in there. You know?
Huge.
Huge Jackman. Anyways,
are they all the same name?
No,
One's Hugh Jackman, the other one's Huge Jackman.
The other one is Hugh Jackman in this specific movie.
One of them is Hugh Jackman.
One of them is Hugh Jackman in the
but
Music
not
Man.
Logan, because I liked him in Logan.
We liked Logan. No, I do have a list of actors and actresses I hate, so that was a good one. Funny enough, Nicole Kidman is on that list, but not for the reason you think. She's not a bad actress. She's just in fucking everything. The same reason that Dwayne The Rock Johnson is also on this list. Because he's in everything. You can punch me on that one. You know who else is on this list? Chris Pratt. And here, listeners, is
Lin-Manuel Miranda should also be on that list.
Yes, they are on the list. I respect Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh my god, okay, good.
But my god.
Stop. I don't want to hear anymore. I'm good. Like, please stop rapping.
Please stop. Please. In every single piece of media you do, stop rapping. Just... leave us be. Though I will say, I do thank him for Encanto. I do. Because that's my movie. My god. If you put Coco and Encanto in front of me, I have to choose Encanto. Wait, what's your favorite Disney movie?
That's been the movie
have
of
I ever
the week.
Asked you this? That's a sad movie of the week. What's your favorite Disney movie, Dad?
Aladdin.
Fun story. Have I ever told you my Aladdin story, Alex?
You mean the Disney Park Aladdin?
The Disney Park Aladdin story?
Let me hear this Disney Park Aladdin story. Yes.
This is how Lucy got kicked out of Disneyland. Please. I forget how old I was. I was a young age, and I had the biggest crush on Aladdin. I had the most ginormous crush on him. He was my first ever crush. And they used to have this thing in California's Disneyland where it was a smaller stage. It wasn't in California Adventure. It was in Disneyland. And it had like a dinner and a show type thing, where they would perform a small-scale version of Aladdin. And because it's like your floor level with Aladdin, the kids sit on the floor, Aladdin comes out. It was the first time I ever experienced, like, I don't want to say lust because I was a child, but I very much was just like, I saw Aladdin in the flesh and I was like, I need him. I love Aladdin. So what did my younger self do? I ran up and tackled him to hug him. But because I ran so fast, I tackled this actor. And so I'm, you know, hugging him. And I'm like, oh my God, I love you. And this guy's like, get this child the fuck off me. I tackled Aladdin. I got escorted by Disney security out of that park. And they were like, hey, if your child, I was with my aunt and uncle at the time. They're like, if your child does this again, she will be kicked out of the park. Cut to later that day, because Lucy has been kicked out of the park, I go on Pirates of the Caribbean and I fall off the fucking ride. So the beginning part was Aladdin. The ending, Pirates of the Caribbean, I fell off the ride. I got escorted out of Disneyland by men wearing mouse badges. I got taken to a room and they were like, you need to leave the park. And if you have another offense, you will be kicked out of said Disney park and not be able to enter again. A good feat for a young child, I will say. Best part of the story, my mom did not find out about it until like years later when Disney sent me a letter and said, oh, your violation? Yeah, we lifted that, so you're cleared now. And my mom went, what fucking violation did you get at Disneyland? So it's a good story. It's a great story. I still love Aladdin. I have the biggest crush on him. Haven't fallen off of Pirates of the Caribbean again. I do have a great fear of that ride now. So, good times, good times.
Do you happen to remember what part of the ride you fell off in?
Yes, it was at the very beginning. So, at the beginning,
yeah, so when like you're the Blue Bayou area?
Yeah, you're in the Blue Bayou area and it's like dark and there's that old man sitting at the house with the like piece of hay in his mouth or something. I fell out right there.
Yeah.
Where it's dark and you can't see anything. And my uncle told me that there were alligators in the water. So, you know, I fall out of the boat and I just start screaming. You know, I'm like, help me. Something's going to kill me. All the restaurant goers are looking over like, what's happening to this little girl? The lights go on. It was traumatizing. It was so traumatizing. It was bad. But yeah. I also
There's part of me that's like, I understand because you were a child. And then there's other parts of me that worked at Disney that like understands the like background of like what the fuck you did.
Mm-hmm.
Cause there's like at least like 8 or 12 boats all at one time that had to be immediately evacuated because you fell into the water at the very beginning. So it's not like, there's a lot of people that just like had to be evacuated all at one time. Yeah.
And it was all because my uncle said that there were alligators in the water. And then I looked over and because I was like a short kid, I like looked over and I was crouching and he scared me by like putting his hands on my waist and going, rawr! And then I fell out. I literally toppled out. And I was like, I also have a Disney California. That feels like
it's not your fault anymore.
It feels like it's not my fault, but who paid for it? I did. I really did. I also have a Disneyland California Adventure story, which is fun. Basically, there used to be a ride there, it's no longer there, where it would shoot you up and then you would jump, like bounce down. And it was like a rocket ship and they had like a glass shield. And basically, because I was too small and they didn't check my height, my face slammed against the bar and I started bleeding everywhere. And I got $500 shopping spree so I wouldn't sue Disney. And I also got front row seats to the Electric Light Parade. That also happened with my aunt and uncle. So, you know, Lucy comes home later in the night and they're like, my mom's like, why does Lucy have different clothes on? They're like, oh, we just like bought her stuff. It's fine.
Real wild shit.
I was a crazy fucking kid. It was bad. It was very bad. Do you have any questions, Alex?
None at this time. I will think about it.
But that's just
refrain. It's wild. It's wild. I do also understand. So I want you to go into the next world, like knowing that your love that you had for Aladdin was not uncommon. I also had that same experience, but I didn't get to run and tackle him because otherwise I would not be on this earth anymore. I had that same like young brooding love for David Bowie in third grade after watching The Labyrinth. I was like, I've got some feelings here.
Oh.
And I like this boy?
Mm-hmm.
And it has only gotten worse into my 30s. But anyways, I feel that. I feel that Aladdin love. I'd have never broken a rule at Disney.
Oh.
So that's my face. It's my face the whole time. Of like, oh, that people do things at Disney. And they're not terrified to be in trouble at all times.
No. I was a young child. And I was like, it's a magical place. Don't worry. I've learned. The world is my oyster. I respect the mouse's house, okay? I respect
it. No. Listen. It's a fucking corporation at the end of the day. So, like, part of my love still understands.
All right. good talk, everybody. Yeah. Lucy, we're not adding the incriminating stuff. Where can they find you?
Oh, Lord. They can find me on TikTok at Lucille_love23. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Lucy Love Adame. You can find me on Coming Together Naturally as Anita Christie, Harmonica on Half Blood Happy Hour, myself on the GOP, Gross Observations Pod, and as Helena, your favorite gay vampire, on Rollout Pod. Yeah, that's it. Thank you for having
me. Only that.
Only that. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. No, thank you for coming. Together Naturally.
Oh, we have to make that joke every single episode.
Damn. I hate it. It was
It was funny the first time.
It's funny every single time. Every single time. I also am not feeling well, right? So I'm sick. So I've got this ugly ass like goblin laugh that I just really like to milk when I don't feel well.
Does it give you the serotonin? Like,
it does. Anyways, I'm not gonna do it now because I can't do it on command. I have to do it when I'm feeling a type of way. But thank you, dear listener, for joining us on another episode of Dungeons and Degrees. You can continue to join any of our antics over on all the social medias. Please give us a like, follow, share, whatever you need to do to get your life's approval from two podcasters in the nether sphere. You are also more than welcome to join our Discord server. We are growing it into a community in which we just love dungeons and maybe dragons, and sometimes we talk about feelings. You can also give us 5 stars wherever pods are cast. Please, anytime you have the opportunity to like anything 5 stars, like it 5 stars, unless it's absolutely racist or homophobic or it's just like really bad trash, because literally anything less than 5 stars just makes you a monster. Like Ubers, doctor's appointments, and podcasts. If you rate less than 5 stars, you are the monster, and we will eventually dungeons and slay you. That was real cute, Alex. Good job.
That was good.
If you also just absolutely want to support us financially, because we are a small podcast and growing, please join us on our Patreon at patreon.com/dungeonsanddegrees. With our patrons' help, we were actually able to get new editing software for Adrian. So that was only done by people like... And then Adrian's going to cut out the pause while I pull up my list.
No, not this time.
People like Skylar, Megan, Alex, Wani, Lucy,
hi,
Mr. Lawrence, Paige, and then the love of everybody's late night fantasy and early morning wet dreams, Noah.
That's true.
Noah absolutely hates that part for sure.
I don't think Noah does. I'm going to just throw this out there. I think Noah's fine with it.
Gotcha.
I'll ask. We'll check in.
Check in a couple months.
Yeah. I think it's fine.
Thank you so much for listening. My name's Adrian.
And I'm Alex.
Oh, yeah, I'm Lucy. Hi. Bye.
You told me you knew.
I know. Sorry. And Lucy.
Go have some fun. Oh, no.